Front Page Dramas present The Title is Deceiving. This week's Front Page Drama, The Title is Deceiving, is a dramatization of a feature news story entitled Problems of an $8 a Week Baronet. This both amusing and amazing true life story will be found in next Sunday's issue of the American Weekly, the magazine that is read by more people than any other publication in the world, and comes to you each week as part of your Hearst Sunday newspaper. The hero of our unusual story is John William Frederick Fagg, a poor farmer laborer who almost overnight became Sir John Fagg, Baronet, the last of a long line of English title holders whose family history dates back to the 16th century and whose members held important roles in 17th century English history. But to begin our story, let us visit a little pub or inn located in a small country town in Kent, England. It's about 8 o'clock in the evening, and a small crowd of farm laborers are enjoying their usual pint of ale or perhaps mild and bitter, playing darts or discussing the news of the day.
Saul, come on, Fred. You're holding up the game. It's your turn.
Oh,
come on, Fred. We want to finish this here game before closing time.
What are you saying? Look yonder. Who's the blinking boss that just came in? A bit of a swanker, ain't he?
Not off. Looks like one of them there Piccadilly Johnnies to me. But where's Fred? Oh, Fred, come on now. Look lively.
Stop swilling that beer and step up here. We ain't got all night.
Here's a mild and bigger Fred. Now get on with you. Yes, please. Oh. All right, there's your pardon, sir. What can I get to you?
I would like to get a little information, if you don't mind, miss.
Right, sir, Governor. What would you like to know?
I'm looking for one John William Frederick Fagg. Could you point him out to me?
Oh, I never knew John Fagg. It's a long angle to his mind. But I happen you ought to know that. Even if you don't know his face. Here he is, standing over there. Keeping score on the dark line. He's the big, jolly-looking open fight smoker in the wall.
Oh, I see. Right, well, thanks, Doctor.
No use to argue. We beat you fair and square. So stop blowing off and buy the bloomin' beer. I'm thirsty.
I say there, I'm awfully sorry to burst in like this, but it's jolly well important. Mr. Fagg?
Aye, that's me, all right.
I'm Mr. Gerald Kingsley of Kingsley, Rogers, Walker & Wood, solicitors and barristers at law, Temple Bar, London.
Happy to meet you, Mr. Kingsley, but what's up? What do you want with me?
A rather important business matter, Mr. Fagg. Could you spare me a few minutes?
Aye, I reckon as I can. I've naught else to do except drink a pint of ale I've won from Sam here.
Well, why not get that later? I'll be very glad to buy you a drink or two while we discuss business.
Aye, Charles, sir. Sit down here in the corner and we won't be disturbed.
As I have already told you, we are a London law firm. And amongst many others, we represent the estate of the late Sir John Henry V. Fagg, Baronet, who died recently in America. I believe you are his only living heir.
What did the London talk about, John? He ain't half important with his 20 wives and all.
Hey, John. He's been so blinking curious and excited like he ought to have been able to drink our beer.
Oh, that's true. Now that Barrister's bloke has been gone, John, tell us what's up. Have you come into a fortune?
Well, something like that, you might say. Of course, it isn't all settled yet.
Well, come on now. Here, John. Don't be so blinking bashful-like. What's to do?
Well, he asked me a lot of questions about myself and my father and grandfather, great-grandfather and all. And
he did?
Yeah, it appears like some relative, an uncle of mine who was a baronet, just died.
Lord, not a fuss. You and uncle was a baronet? Why didn't you tell us before?
Hey, John, he's keeping secrets on us, eh? Tommy Rod, I didn't even know myself. In fact, I'm not sure even now. I've got to get copies of my birth certificate along with those of my grandfather and all the rest. And then copies of marriage certificates of all of them as well. Four sworn statements confirming the facts by the chief constable, a parson of our church, the tax collector, and one from my government. Send them all to London and have them investigated. If they prove I'm the one, I'll be a baron.
Oh, Lord, blimey, after all that rigmarole, you ought to be something.
Yes, Sam, not so much blinging cheek. I've got a sort of notion our John might be the missing heir. Imagine being a baronet with a big ancestral castle, a big estate with stables. Hey, John, if you do become a baronet, you'll need a first-class groom. How about me?
Ah, don't forget me, John. You and I'll speak for all their means and all. I'll get a really fine job, and it'll only cost you £2 a week. And keep, that's dead cheap, too.
He's right. Right enough, John. For the big estate, you'll need an overseer and rent collector. You know, there ain't a farm, no matter how big, that I can't handle.
Blimey, won't I be surprised, too. You can get married now, John. Imagine Ivy a blooming housemaid. He and Lively, Ivy Fagg. Gee, what's that?
Yeah, yeah, no, not so blooming fast. Wait until it's all settled and I become the real heir before you start anything.
Remember, never count your chickens before they hatch.
Despite John's doubts, his friends spread the news like wildfire. Even Ivy, whom John was keeping company with, found out the news before John had a chance to tell her himself. Then, a few days later, a telegram came to John announcing the news. Everybody gathered around the post office where John received the wire.
All right, all right. Come on now, John. Don't keep us in suspense like this. Open up the blinking envelope.
I'm fairly busting inside, John. I'm so excited.
Perhaps he's a fly. Come on, John. Things aren't in everyone's fine, Ivy. Have a go at opening the thing and get it over. Ivy, you talk to him.
Yes, John, dear, don't be afraid. I know we'll all be as happy for you, whichever way the news goes.
I suppose you're right. There you go.
John, dear, what was it, sir? Is it all right?
Hi, John, let's have it. Are you all right, blooming baronet?
All right, quiet, everybody, and I'll read it. It says, your claim to the title of baronet upheld. Congratulations. You are now Sir John William Frederick, 11th Baronet of the family of Fashion. Arranging completion of final details of estate. Will arrive last part of next week. Will wire day and time of arrival later. Signed, Gerald Kingston.
Now that's a bit of all right.
Hello, everybody. Off and now.
How about 3 hearty British cheers for the Right Honourable Sir John Fagg Baronet?
Hip hip hooray!
Hip hip
hooray!
Hip hip hooray!
Oh, John, I don't know how I ever got through the day. I'm glad the lady gave me an off holiday. I couldn't have done any work anyway.
No, darling, it won't be long now before you'll be a lady. Lady Fagg, and have your own house and servants.
Oh, John, I can hardly wait. Won't it be wonderful?
Ivy, the day after tomorrow is Sunday. What do you say to having the band published?
Oh, John, dear, I don't know what to say.
Well, there's always the jolly old chestnut. Oh, dear, this is so sudden. But seriously, Ivy, we've been courting for a long time. I'd saved up a few pounds hoping for the day we could get married, and now we can be married and have no worries. Ivy, dear, I do love you so ever since. Will you marry?
Oh, John, dear.
Oh, darling. Oh, wonderful. 3 weeks from Monday shall be the day. Now, kiss me again, dear.
I'm so happy.
Oh, look, here comes Sam.
Oh, John, excuse me. Who's Captain Freeze the crowd?
Oh, shut it, Sam. What's up? What's all the excitement?
Well, you ought to see what Lizzie found, right. John. It'll knock your blooming eyes out. Oh, Lizzie, come on over here with that there book.
I hope it's all we eyes bright and in on a little surprise as the thing starts.
Oh, come off it, Lizzie. Don't be stopping. What you got?
It's like this here. I was down in the library, sir, looking about, and I came across this here book. See? It's called The Stately Homes of England, and here on page 60 I... Oh, I've lost the blooming sign.
Ah, there you go, messing things up. Here, give me that book. I'll find it. Here we are. Just cuff the keepers over this, Sir John.
Well, he blows. Ivy, look at this.
Hmm?
Picturesque Winston Hall and staining the famed ancestral home of the Fagg family.
Hmm?
One of the most magnificent of all the stately homes of England.
Oh, John, and that could be our home? Of course it is. We would sit on the other party.
Yes, that's the Fagg ancestral home, aren't
I? And remember, John, you promised I might need the 8-hour keeper.
Oh, and don't forget your old friend Sam. By the look of things, there's plenty of land there for me to superintend.
And by the size of that place, you ought to have 58 horses for me to take care
of. Hold on a minute. I won't forget all of you, but this isn't the only good news. I want to announce Ivy has agreed to become my wife.
No.
The banns will be published beginning next Sunday.
Well, Lord love you. Well, I wish you both the very best for everything I've done.
For the next week, the little country town was in a dither of excitement. The normal, quiet manner of living was completely upset. The only topics of conversation were John's good fortune and his forthcoming marriage, which was scheduled to be the social event of all time. Sam, Fred, and Lizzie couldn't wait until they assumed their new positions in the Fagg ancestral home. Then came the day when the lawyer arrived from London, and the excitement was at fever pitch. At John's humble little cottage, John and Ivy received their distinguished visitor.
I know you are anxious to hear all the details of your inheritance, so I shan't lose any time. I'll come right to the point. First, although you are now Sir John William Frederick Fagg, I regret to announce that you won't inherit a single penny from the estate.
You mean the Fagg family fortune?
There is no such thing as the Fagg family fortune. My family inheritance is all thanks.
Well, that's a bit awkward to say the least.
Yes, how can you expect me to keep up that great big house, the grounds and stables? And
yes, all? And where's the rent from the farm on the estate? Is that all spent?
The big house, grounds, stables, farms? I'm afraid I don't understand.
Oh, we mean this. Wait a minute. Ivy, where's that big book with a picture of the house in it?
Are you by any chance referring to Winston Hall and the estate of Fane?
That's the place.
Oh, good gracious. You didn't expect to inherit that. Why, Winston Hall and the estate were all sold more than 20 years ago to pay off that debt.
It says in this book, the stately arms of England...
Oh, that. If you look at the publishing date, you'll find that it was written over 40 years ago.
Then, what do we get out of this blooming inheritance?
You inherit the title of baronet and this strikingly beautiful coat of arms with the family crest, Tudor St. Leicester, which means safe if upright.
Well, I feel like lying down. What else?
A bill for my legal fees, which amounts to approximately £20.
What? Why, that's half my life savings, and I've already spent another 10 on birth certificates, old marriage licenses, and legal papers. I've spent the last 10 on preparations for our wedding. I haven't got a thing.
Oh, yes, you have. Well, now, there's the title, the family crest, and the coat of arms.
And you've got the job, your life, and me. I'll just keep on working, and you'll be happy, title or no title, in a baronial cottage of 4 rooms and a garden.
And so now, Sir John and Lady Ivy, who inherited a title and a barrel of troubles, carry on undaunted, poor but happy, on their joint income of $50 a month, living up to the motto on the family crest, safe if upright. You have just heard the front page drama, The Title is Deceiving, a dramatization of a very unusual news story to be featured in next Sunday's American Weekly, the magazine with the greatest circulation in the world, which comes to you each week with your Hearst Sunday newspaper. ¶¶